Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, a World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners. No prisoners. 1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. You can find me on the web at turnerstake.com. And for farmers and hedgers out there, turnerstakeag.com. I'm also on Twitter at Turner's Take. And if you're on iTunes or Android for podcasts, it's called the Turner's Take Podcast. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with online traders, broker-assisted traders. Our most popular category is actually a hybrid, which is a mix among the two. And do anything from managed futures to speculating to hedging crops and livestock and energy. So let's dive into it. Again, if you ever want to find my contact information, you just can go to the show notes or find me on the web. Okay, so let's see here. Let's talk Bitcoin first. It has been a big 2 weeks about Bitcoin. I'm getting a lot of questions about it. So let's go over a few basics, then we'll dive a little bit deeper into to kind of hopefully get you a little bit of understanding about what's going on here. So one, the Bitcoin contract is now listed on both Chicago Board of Options Exchange, their futures wing, and then the CME. The Chicago Board Options Exchange, their wing is called the Chicago Futures Exchange. Their Bitcoin is 1-to-1. So if Bitcoin's trading $19,000, then that futures contract is 1-to-1. It's a $19,000 futures contract. The CME is 5 times the value. Kind of like 5 times the value. So if Bitcoin is trading at, I'm gonna make the math easy for myself, $20,000. Times 5 is $100,000, so it's a $100,000 contract. You know, for every one Bitcoin, the futures go up, the account goes up 5, a multiple of 5. So that's how it's working. We're seeing some volume. At first we all thought that, the CME was going for the institutional player with the Bitcoin contract, making it 5 times. And what we're actually seeing is that it's more of the retail and the smaller trader who's getting more active into this. And so we're seeing that that Chicago Board Options Exchange contract getting more play here, which is interesting. Now, it did beat the CME contract by a week, but I think it's smaller. And I got to tell you, I have no inside information on this, but if it were, I could see the CME coming out with like a micro contract where like the CME has the big one, the Chicago Futures Exchange or the CBOE kind of has the mini, which is the 1-to-1. And I wouldn't be surprised if the CME said, you know what, we'll do the micro and make it, I don't know, half the size or a fifth of the size or the tenth of a size, just to allow some more trading in this thing. It is an interesting concept. As the price discovery is found with Bitcoin, we'll probably see less swings and more volume. Right now, I got to say the volume for the mini really isn't that bad. I thought it was tradable, especially if you have a larger account. If you have an account, $20,000 or more, I'd see no problem trading Bitcoin. You got to keep in mind the margin is right now 44% on the overnight. Just give you an idea, most futures contracts margins are 5 to 10% of the total contract value. This one's about 44%. That is because you got to keep in mind, not only is this a new contract, this is a new asset class. So this is something completely new to the exchange. They're taking a very cautious view of it. They're listing it. You're allowing to trade it. And what usually happens in these situations, as the contract becomes more popular, has more open interest, and has higher volume, you'll start to see those margins come down. Usually. I'm not promising anything, but that's usually what happens with something like this. So that's not going to be tomorrow. But, it seems like Bitcoin and these currencies or cryptocurrencies are here to stay. And if Bitcoin becomes the standard bearer, then that's the way it's going to be. There are a lot of arguments about that. People think there are better types of cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin does have some of its issues. One of them is the slow transfer of money. Like, it takes a couple of days, it sounds like, to clear or to confirm transactions or to clear transactions, while other cryptocurrencies are almost, instantaneous. And there are other things that I think people complain about Bitcoin, but the thing is, it's the most established one. It's the one that's being listed. It's the highest price, so that's what the world knows. And for your old timers out there like me, if you all think back to VHS versus Betamax, anyone you talk to from that era, Betamax was the better product, but VHS is the one that was able to sell the units, and they got became the most popular, got the most movies printed on it, and that's the one the world went with. So, that's just the way it goes. So, Bitcoin may not be out of the 900 cryptocurrencies out there, maybe it isn't the exact best one, but it's good enough. People like it, and that's what seems like it's being adopted here. It will be interesting to see if the exchange offers more cryptocurrencies. I've been learning a lot about the past couple of weeks, especially from clients who either traded or new people coming calling us up and asking about Bitcoin. And they share a lot of information about the other contracts. I have seen starting to get familiar now with kind of like the top 5 to 10 cryptocurrencies out there. And you know what? I could see one day, whatever turns out after all this to be the biggest cryptocurrencies, I would not be surprised if one day we have, six or seven major ones, five, six, seven major ones. Kind of like how we have five, six, or seven major foreign currencies out there. Like, we've got the dollar index, you got the euro, the pound, the yen, Swiss franc is popular to trade, Canadian, Aussie. And those are really where a lot of the currency trading is done. I could see that with cryptocurrencies one day, but we'll just have to see. Now, I was also getting some calls from those who are bearish on cryptocurrencies who kind of don't, believe in it. That is natural, and I'm not too sure which way I fall on the fence. I'm very trying to be very open-minded about it, and taken both sides. Just to give you a little history lesson, if you're new to these cryptocurrencies and are interested in it, they started back in 2008 or 2009, kind of as an alternative to currency, right? Fiat currency, I guess someone might say. It's kind of like the new aged, back in the day we had the gold bug. We still have gold bugs where, the US dollar isn't backed by gold anymore, and the government can just print money, and there's inflation concerns and stuff like that. And the things with the people who are very pro on physical metal, precious metal like gold and silver, that was one of the things. Like, you can't just, I mean, you can mine silver and gold, but you can't print it at the rate as the government or the Fed can produce US dollars and go into debt. So they liked that kind of hedge against that kind of stuff, governmental to do it. What's interesting about Bitcoin is they were able to figure out a way to kind of have a currency. But an electronic currency that was out of the reach of central banks and governments, where, basically they wouldn't be able to inflate it, where there was a fixed amount, or is a fixed amount based on blockchains. And you've probably been hearing about Bitcoin mining and blockchains and cryptocurrencies. So just to kind of dive into that real quick. For Bitcoin to exist, you have to have these blockchains. You have to have these basically databases and ledgers of transactions. What's interesting about Bitcoin is, like, the way they mine Bitcoin, you create Bitcoin, is you basically, these miners are creating these blockchains or these ledgers, which, when the more you read about it, you kind of realize, like, there's really no way for fraud, because what they're doing is they're making this code so complex for this blockchain, and then they replicate it all over the world in many different servers. So if someone try to basically use fraud to change something to show that, steal money or steal transactions or personal data, they might be able to do it locally on one part of the chain, but because it's replicated all over the world, you can always tell the fraudulent transaction from the other one. So it's a very interesting concept, and you can only, for every Bitcoin, you're going to have transactions in a blockchain. So, you can only issue Bitcoins if you have more blockchains. So you're not really you're printing money in terms of in terms of Bitcoin, but it's backed by the integrity of the blockchain. So it's kind of like gold. Like you can, you know, you can produce more gold by mining gold, and then by mining gold you have more, and there's more out there. But you're not just kind of printing it willy-nilly. You know, there's a viable use for Bitcoin when they mine these when they mine and create these blockchains. So that's one interesting thing about it. I would say my concern though is anyone and their brother seems to be able to create a cryptocurrency. So, you know, if there was a concern about dilution of this kind of stuff, well, the fact that there's 900 out there would probably be a little bit of a red flag. A lot of people are saying this is the bubble of a century or millennia. You know, people are pointing towards the tulip craze where, you know, I'm going to put this on pause for a second. I don't want to tell the tulip story wrong, essentially, since they taught it to us in business school, undergrad, and also when I got my MBA. So hold on one second. Let me switch over. Alrighty. So the tulip craze happened in the 1630s. It was in Holland from 1634 to 1637. And, you know, basically from the bottom to the peak, back to the bottom, a tulip was, you know, worth about the price of what an onion would be in the supermarket today. At its height, you could have traded one tulip for an entire estate, and then at the crash, 3 years later, it was back to being the price of an onion. So that's probably the most extreme example of, you know, what a real bubble or, you know, can look like. Now, I don't think Bitcoin is gonna be like that. I think there is gonna be a real need for a cryptocurrency. I wouldn't be surprised one day if cryptocurrency is adopted by governments. And, you know, the cynic in me says it all eventually gets taken up by the government anyways, where, you know, there's nothing that, you know, you can always have the World Bank and the UN and the United States and whoever come in and say, you know what, we're starting our own cryptocurrency and it's going to be tied to XYZ and the dollar and this, that. And, you know, they'll take the good parts of the blockchain and incorporate it maybe into some kind of asset backed by the U.S. government or maybe, or something like that. It's definitely interesting. There's obviously something to this Bitcoin craze. We wouldn't be at $19,000 per Bitcoin and all these currencies coming in. So there's a demand for it. There's obviously a real reason it exists. I think part of it is the whole thing with fraud and inflation. And what makes Bitcoin so unique and cryptocurrencies so unique is basically it cuts out fraud. And then, you know, if you say that's a store of value, because if you think about it in terms of, in theory, gold doesn't have to be worth anything, right? You know, we as a society kind of choose that it's worth something. You know, it's valuable to us in terms of jewelry. It's valuable to us in terms of a store of value. But industrially, you know, what can you really do with gold? You know, you can't make out of anything and make it productive into a tool that's going to, you know, increase productivity you really can't gain interest on gold. You know, it's valuable because we say it's valuable, really, more so than silver, which at least has an industrial component to it. So, you know, the dollar, U.S. dollar or other currencies are backed by the faith of the government, which is really just backed on, you know, interest rates, how strong the economy is relative to the debt economy has. And you know, you kind of get a crude way of getting a value for or a relative value between different countries and currencies with respect to how much of that currency is out there. What the cryptocurrency does is it basically has a fixed amount or is a bit more of a store of value. And if people would rather use, if they trust that more to say it has a certain value and they trust it in terms of, you know, can't be manipulated and you can't print it just willy-nilly and stuff like that, then, you know, if that's what the store of value is and the exchange of value, because that's what, you know, society deems it's going to be from now on, you know, that could be as legitimate as anything. So I don't know. I'm still very open-minded on it. I mean, obviously, this is not acting like a currency. Now it's acting like a tradable asset. If this was acting like a currency, it wouldn't be up so much. It wouldn't be skyrocketing. Currencies don't do that. You know, I can't imagine you really using Bitcoin as currency right now because, you know, if I said, hey, I'm going to buy whatever, some new car that costs $18,000, and me and the dealer agree, okay, well, you know, I'll pay you a Bitcoin for it, give me a couple days and I'll shoot it over. You know, that Bitcoin could be $12,000 by the time the dealer gets it, or $25,000 by the time it gets it, or who knows, maybe we stay at 18. You know, currencies don't do that. So, you know, right now it's a tradable asset, and maybe one day when these things become established, they are more like currencies, but for right now, they're not. So I know I just spent a ton of time on Bitcoin, but I hope that helps out. If you have any more questions about these cryptocurrencies and Bitcoins, I at least hope, you know, these past 10 or 15 minutes have shown that, you know, we do have some competency in this. We are doing our homework, and we are giving a lot of thought, too, about, you know, about the currency. So always happy. Hey, this is a great time, regardless if you're a client or not. Go ahead and write in or text me. Shoot me an email. Go to Turner's Take on Twitter and shoot some questions or some info on Bitcoin. I will definitely bring it up on the next podcast. And I have a feeling this we're going to be having a Bitcoin conversation for a while. So I don't mind. You know, going forward, I'm not going to spend another 10 or 15 minutes on it. But going forward, will I spend a couple of minutes on Bitcoin? I certainly will. And you know, especially as we're in this beginning stage here. So I was planning on talking about grains, cattle, energies, the S&P. So I'm going to just, I still want to hit all those topics, but I don't want to spend forever and a day on this podcast. I'm going to try to make it a half hour. So I'm going to get through each of these in the next couple of minutes. So corn right now, we are looking for rallies. We're looking for any kind of rally. We have a huge short position in corn and also wheat. We're going to see, you know, there was some rain in Argentina this weekend. We are behind in exports, but I got to say, we are more competitive now in the world market. For corn, I think we're going to see some short covering here at the end of the year. And we've got some pretty good deals in terms of value with corn. I know at a 2.4, 2.5 billion carryout, that's quite bearish. But also at, you know, $3.50, how much downside is there? I guess the funds would say there's, I mean, looking at how big that fund short position is, they probably think there's another 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 cents left to the downside in corn. Otherwise, they still wouldn't be holding on to that big short position. I find that kind of hard to believe, but that's what happens. But, you know, for anyone who is long corn, though, I will say this. Puts are so cheap right now. You could be long. I mean, you could be long corn here from, whatever, 347. Buy a 340 put. You know, that, you know, the Februarys are going for like 2.5 cents. Which is $125. I think the March 340 puts are going for 4 cents. So, you know, it's, in my opinion, that's better than a stop. I mean, you could spend anywhere between, let's just say, 3 and 4 cents, have coverage for the next couple of months, and go ahead and buy corn. And if you're wrong, you're really not wrong by much. And if you're right, that's fantastic. We get a short covering rally here, that'll be great. You can also play both sides of that. You know, if we go down first, you can kind of ride the put lower, and then we hit support level, take the put off, and see if the futures can come back. Or if we just have a short covering rally, you know, yeah, that put cost you a couple of cents, but hopefully corn goes up 10, 15, or 20 cents. So that's kind of how I would play corn right now. If you're just trading corn, or for a lot of farmers out there, you know, I mean, if you have corn in commercial storage and you're paying 5 cents a month, I don't see the point of that. Sell the cash, buy the futures, and then, you know, and then if you're very conservative, buy the 340 put, and, you know, for whatever, 3 cents or 4 cents, whatever it may be, and just lock in that bottom. And that's how I would hold it. And I think, you know, we'll get a rally at some point. We'll get a short covering rally at some point and play that range. So that is one way I would take a look into it with, see, wheat. You know, there is, so the funds are short over 300, when you combine the wheat and the corn short, I think it's over 300,000 contracts. It might be closer to 340,000 contracts when you combine the wheat and corn short. I kind of, you know, wheat is trading 70 cents, I think, over corn or close to it. I kind of like wheat over corn here. The price ratio is 1.2, meaning that, you know, if you take the price of corn, you divide by, I'm sorry, you take the price of wheat, you divide by the price of corn, it's about 1.2. You know, in a normal market, normal supply and demand, it's usually about 1, it can be as high as 1.5, but, you know, 1.3, 1.4 being the lower end. To be at 1.2, I know we have a ton of wheat out there, but the balance sheet is coming down. We are seeing more demand for U.S. wheat now. There are issues, wheat issues in production areas around the world, and we're dry. We are dry in the United States, and if we do get lower wheat yields, I can see wheat gaining on corn here. I mean, I'm not talking you're going to be putting on an addition to your house or anything, you know, kind of move, but, I mean, I think, you know, you can play that range. So, you know, if we get, you know, maybe to the 60 and 70s to the low side, I'm just going to bring up a DT Pro. By the way, we can, I'm going to bring up my DT Pro platform right now. We're at 73 cents. And right next to that corn spread, I have the Bitcoin quotes up. So you can trade it at Daniel's Trading Online. You know, recently we've been as low as about 61 cents wheat over corn. You know, we've been as high as, I mean, just in November, we were closer to, I don't know, 94 cents. You know, back in September, we were $1.14. I think March wheat over March corn. So I like it. I know it's gotten beat up here, but I think we're at a point where we can actually maybe see a little bit of reversal. So I don't know. I like trading that range. You know, maybe if we fall below 70, we're buying wheat over corn, and if we get an 80 over above, we're selling it, and maybe we can, you know, try to make 5 or 10 cents, you know, over the, you know, kind of swing trading it, swing trade to position trading it, more of a swing trade though. So I'm gonna be looking at that more in the newsletter, and that'd be in Turner's Take, Market Alert, which is the spec side of the daily newsletter. Not daily, but when I have trade ideas, I'll put it in there. You know, with livestock, there's one recurring theme I keep on thinking about, is we are living in a protein world now. You know, as the world gets more and more, gets wealthier, what happens, especially in developing nations, is their diet changes. One of the first things to improve, and it gets better protein-wise. So that's why I've been always kind of thinking that soybeans has a long-term, real long-term organic growth story. But so does cattle and hogs. I mean, the exports for beef and pork have been strong. You know, whenever we produce a lot of beef and pork in this country, I think we will see, you know, I think we will see demand, you know, buying up U.S. cheap protein sources when they're available. So I kind of know at these prices, I do have a little bit more of a bullish bias. We also have some good margins, and you have a lot more, you know, producers out there using their grains to feed hogs and cattle when they can. So I don't know. I'm bullish on those markets. I'd rather much be on the bullish side than the bear side. I do like hogs. Do like February hogs short term here, but I'll try to get that more in the newsletter. Or if you're a client, you can always reach out to me and we can talk about the hogs and what we're thinking about we're doing. In terms of energies, I'm still bearish. When I'm following the crude market, I'm looking for a technical breakdown, a technical reversal on the charts. And we'll either be selling the futures, maybe we'll sell some call spreads, buy some put spreads. I like to trade the June versus December spread. So in the bear side, to be selling June and buying DEES. I don't think right now where prices are with that spread, it's a good location to do so. It is currently about $1.60. But if we get a rally here in crude and go closer to $2, I like it a lot better. And I think it's... you know, I think of the highs have been around, I want to say around 220, which was back in November. But I do like that spread, and I think that chart is starting, you know, it was very strong for a lot of 2017. But I really do think since the beginning of November, we've been, you know, now trending lower. So that's how I'd like that. I did write about energy. What was it? A bear spread of natural gas. It was seasonal. It's one of the ones that I liked from MRCI. I believe it was the April, July, and I still like that. So I still like being bear spread natural gas. I originally wanted to play the range of natural gas. I thought it could be, you know, a value here, but The tactical action just looks like a dog. I don't know if I want to be outright short natural gas, because if you do get a real big cold winter, that can be painful. But using the spread market to play this trend lower, I kind of like it. I do like it. And the other two things I'm going to be writing about this week is, you know, the stock market. I like playing it with weekly options. And the nice thing with the futures markets is we have weekly options. And they're very liquid, and they're actually a fairly inexpensive way to play the stock market here. And we can do it on a week-by-week basis. So the next time we, you know, if they're going to pass these tax cuts, and, you know, as long as the charts are showing a positive way, I think what we're going to do is use the weekly options to buy some cheap calls on the dips. And if we ever do get a real, honest-to-God reversal on the charts, we'll buy the puts. But I think that's the way to go with the S&P. If it, I mean, right now, it's been a bull market so long. I'd rather just just keep on playing it. And the music stops. But if you use an option that doesn't cost a whole lot, if you can keep the option under $500, then we just keep on playing the stock market game each month. And you know, when it ends, it ends. But you know, might as well. I have no problem buying it on Monday and selling it Friday, you know, with the options. That might be a way to do it. Or the first down day of the week, you know, buying the weekly option and riding it to Friday. As long as we have a bull market. And right now we have been having stronger, we're still having stronger weekend closes, which you want to see. Finally, I am a dollar bull. Economy in the United States is going well. Tax reform is going to go well, or it should help. Things that the economy cares about. It might not be a winner for everyone, but it is, that's really not the business I'm in. I'm in the business of analyzing what's going to happen on an economic growth. And with, you know, and with the S&P company performance, tax cuts are going to help on that. You would think the S&P would continue to grow. And the Fed is going to be more hawkish than dovish. Meanwhile, in Europe, you really can't say that, especially with the central bank. So I think the U.S. dollar keeps on going higher here, and I think the euro keeps on going lower. You know, if we test some of these support or resistance levels in the euro, I think they may be a good selling opportunity or any kind of breakthrough through support. So we'll be watching that too. So that is it. Just to give a quick recap here, we spent a lot of time on Bitcoin, but and as I learn more about it, I'm happy to share. With corn, we like buying it, but we also like the cheap puts if you're going to do that. I do think there's some opportunity in wheat over corn. You're going to have to pick your spots, though, for that. You know, the protein, the bullish protein, you know, long-term, I think is good for hogs and cattle, even beans. So we're going to, it sounds like we're going to have a ton of beans this year in South America and the United States, and possibly 90-plus million acres again. You kind of ask yourself, how long can beans stay where they are with that kind of headwind? And then on the energies, I'm fairly bearish on the energies, not because of, I mean, you'd say, well, Craig, you're bullish on economic growth, and that'd be good for energy. It is. It's just that we're producing so much. You know, we have more than enough energy around the world. OPEC has just decided to kind of, you know, pull back on production. I mean, if they wanted to flood the market and send the crude to 20, they probably could, but obviously not their best interest. But the crude exists out there, and what you're going to have is these shale companies just pumping more money and more investment going into it, and eventually, you know, OPEC and Russia, Saudi Arabia can only do so much. So long-term, kind of bearish there, but you got to wait for the technical signs to be able to do something on that. I like playing the bull side of the S&P, and I like playing the bear side of the euro. So I will be writing about that. If you don't get Turner's Take Ag marketing, you know, for the farmers out there, I would sign up for a trial of that or contact me. And for the speculative side, Turner's Take Market Alert. You don't have to be broker-assisted to get those. You just have an online trading account with us, which is very competitive with all the other online trading accounts around. You get all of, you know, you get all of our newsletters, access to a broker when you need it, which is rare, but everyone needs one sometime. Who knows what they're doing? And especially for online traders. And then if you do like personal service, you're a hedger, or you like to be broker assisted, well, then we're definitely the best shop in town. And anyone who uses that DT Pro platform, and all not just the DT Pro platform, but the iPhone. The smartphone technology is outstanding. So, yeah, give us a call. You can always contact me through the show notes, through Twitter, or just go to Turner's Take Com or turnerstakeag.com. Oh, finally, hold on one sec. All right, I am back. I was on Ag News Daily today with Mike Pearson. Delaney Howe, unfortunately, was not able to join us. She is on vacation today on Monday, but I did talk to Mike Pearson at Ag News Daily, and we had a great conversation about the markets. I'll put a link into that, but if you don't listen to them, that's another good grain podcast out there. That's always and I listen to a lot of them, so they're very good. And I would check them out too. So thanks to Ag News Daily for having me on today. All right, and that does it. If I can do something later than this week, I will. But the markets close early on Friday. Christmas is next Monday, and there is an early close on Friday for a lot of the markets, especially I think grains close at noon. I think livestock close at noon. Stocks are probably open all day, but a lot of the U.S. traditional commodity markets are going to be closing early. So if I can get something out by the end of the week, I really do want to get back on a 2-week podcast schedule. So as we head into the new year, my New Year's resolution. So everyone have a great week, and I'll talk to you later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.